We're watching the stock market in the U.S. After big drops yesterday, the S&P fell more than 4%, the biggest dive since the early days of the pandemic in 2020.
That market reaction came after a report showing what many Americans already feel in their wallets. Prices were up 8.3% in August compared to last year. That's slightly lower than July, but still higher than expectations. And Moody's reports that the average household is now spending $460 a month extra, on average, because of inflation over last year. Diane Swonk is chief economist for KPMG, the Accounting and Professional Services Network. Diane, welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
Well, it seems the markets are reflecting a very real fear here about that inflation report. What is so concerning?
Well, a lot of things are concerning. One is that a lot of the inflation we saw in the CPI that was reported for the month of August was in the service sector and in really basic things for people, everything from the cost, the cost of food to shelter and medical costs. These are really basic human needs. And those things are going up very rapidly and accelerating in price at a time that even though we've seen some prices recede at the pump, which is great news, it's still really hitting consumers' ability to, you know, make ends meet at the end of every month. And I think that's a very difficult situation, and it's one that has caught the attention of the Federal Reserve as well.
Here are the numbers. They're striking. Groceries up 13%, rent up nearly 7%, electricity up by nearly 16%. Remind us why some of the what some of the factors are that are driving these price increases.
Well, there's a whole slew of factors, you know, not the least of which is the war in Ukraine, and that has had a major devastation in terms of food supplies out there and pushing up the cost of food. But in addition to that, we've had droughts, we've had fires, we've had floods, we've had all kinds of disruptions to the supply chain that continue due to COVID. We also have continued problems with, you know, the housing market, the legacy effect of when housing prices go up, it takes about a year to 18 months for those prices to show up in the equivalent rents that people actually end up renting their homes out for, or the implicit rents that we capture in these inflation measures. And then the demand for rental properties, of course, as homes got more and more expensive and less affordable with higher rates and the extraordinary appreciation we saw coming out of the pandemic, that pushed up demand for rental properties as well and is giving some huge sticker shock to people trying to rent instead of buy. So all of it combined together, reopening along with these ongoing supply disruptions, supply side disruptions, and, you know, the idea that we all wanted to get out and sort of get out in the same time, all of those things together pushed up these prices. And some of them, even as some come off, like used cars, finally the depreciation asset that they had been, they're falling in price again. Not falling as rapidly as we'd like, but they're finally falling in price again. And that's good news, but that doesn't put food on your table.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the hard part for most consumers
are. To that point, we mentioned that number from Moody's that the average household is spending $460 more a month because of inflation. That's real money. Is yesterday's report an indication that a so-called soft landing for the economy may be getting harder now?
Well, I think the Federal Reserve has already made pretty clear how hard it is to get to a soft landing. I mean, watching Jay Powell speak at the Jackson Hole, Wyoming conference, 8 minutes, 34 seconds, where he basically put to rest, I think, an idea that the Fed thought they could get a very easy soft landing, that there was going to be some pain. And that's a very hard message to deliver, is that the Fed is trying to raise rates and even unemployment to curb what could be a longer-term, more corrosive inflation that requires an even larger recession down the road. That's a hard sell. I'm sorry, any way you cut it, it's not an easy sell, and it's a very hard position to be in. But that's where the Federal Reserve thinks we're at today, and they're taking actions, and we're going to see one of those big actions next week as they meet yet again and raise rates yet again by an outsized amount. I think actually even a full percentage point is on the table, that the Fed actually moves from what they think is neutral territory on rate hikes to what they consider the beginning of, you know, credit restraint out there. That is not at the end yet, and it means a lot more pain before we can actually tame this inflation that we have lingering in the economy that goes beyond what we see at the gas pump.
And the labor market continues to be very strong amidst all this, which was so interesting. So in 10 seconds, I guess the question a lot of people asking, and you mentioned it, you alluded to it, do you think a recession is coming?
I think we are going to see a mild recession at the very least. That would be the best case scenario, in my view. That is, over the course of a year, we slowly grind down inflation and have a modest move up in the unemployment rate. That's a lot easier to say than live. Having inflation linger and the unemployment rate rising eventually in 2023 is not a place anybody wants to be, but it may be the lesser of two evils if you're trying to circumvent a much more corrosive, lingering inflation that spans many more years.
Diane Swong, Chief Economist for KPMG. Thank you so much.
Thank you.